You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory.
So as I was saying before we press record, I was just sitting in front of my altar, like feeling into, oh my God, I've got a million questions to ask them. I'm so excited. And the first thing that I noticed was my heart started to open. Like all day, I've sort of had a chaotic day, but like I sat down and was like, oh, and I really just felt myself get into my feeling body for the first time today. And I think that it's because we're about to share some really beautiful, potent information with people listening. So I'm just really excited to have you both here. How's your day going so far?
We're excited to be here. And, you know, we're excited to be on your podcast and just to have a conversation with you because we've been fans for so long and listened to you for so long. So now we're here with you and it's exciting.
Same. Right back at you guys. So for people who may not know you, would you like to share just a little bit about what it is that is pretty unique about the relationship format and agreements that you both have?
Sure. That's a very, very broad way of saying it. I'll try to sum it up decently. But so we are married, wedding rings, and we are also a dominant submissive couple, caller. And we live this combination lifestyle of really a devoted, loving relationship and a 24/7 dominant submissive dynamic within that, or that kind of really now underlies the marriage. And where that started was with me asking her to be my submissive, thinking like, I've always thought that looked cool. I always thought that looked fun. And then, you know, where it's ended up is like so much started to happen to us.
Yeah.
And we started to notice like our relationship is changing and I'm being challenged to grow as a man. And she, like, I'll let you speak to your side of that in just a minute here. But so we discovered what polarity was, because like, what's going on here? We discovered what union was. We discovered, like, we met God. Mm. And it's like, that wasn't what I had in mind when I asked her to be my submissive, but it's kind of turned out better than expected. And, you know, for me, it's really just challenged me to continue to grow. And, you know, what has it been for you?
Well, at the beginning, I had no idea what being in my feminine was, or much background at all around dominance and submission outside of 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And so I started to quickly learn as I went down this path of surrender on what it really meant to be a woman for what felt like the first time in my life, and to fully connect with my body in a way that I didn't even know was possible. And so I don't even feel like the same woman anymore as a year ago, let alone 4 years ago. So it's been an amazing journey.
I love this. And for people who are like, what do you mean 24/7? Because I know a lot of people are familiar with the concept, like you said, unfortunately or fortunately, it became a little bit more mainstream through, you know, something like 50 Shades of Grey. But it's very much the idea of, you know, a dom sub relationship within the context of the, you know, bedroom or, you know, our sex lives. And so can you speak a little bit to this 24/7 and how did you, Andrew, get to the point where you were like, oh, that's what I want versus just in the sexual domain?
Well, first of all, 24/7 means that the dynamic of me being in charge and Don being not in charge doesn't start or stop. It's a piece, like I kind of said before, like underlies, or it's a part of like the foundation of our relationship that I lead and she follows. And so I've never been the type who does things halfway. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't about the sexual dynamic for me when I brought this up. It wasn't right. About the bedroom. It was about, like, I think our relationship would be a lot better if this thing that we do sometimes, which was like when we go on a date, I make the plans, I figure everything out. I tell you what to wear. I tell you where we're going. I tell you what time we're leaving. And you just go, okay. But everything worked so well. And so if we could have that energy between us all the time, that would be wonderful for both of us. And so that's really what 24/7 means to us, is that it, like, that dynamic never stops, whether it's in the bedroom or like over dinner on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. So this really brings us to what actually dominance and submission really are, because I think there's a lot of confusion about what these terms even mean. People bring a lot of baggage. I can speak to in my experience. So I've been playing a little bit with this. I've always been very submissive in the bedroom. Like, that part is like been super easy. And of course in life, you know, I mean, I run my own business. Like, I mean, I survived a war. Like, there's a lot of fighter and individual perseverance in me. And that drives me forward. I've been very much someone who's always had to drive myself forward. And so it's been interesting as I start to bring this to some of the men in my life that I'm like, I have a desire to be more dominated. It is often misunderstood in that there is an element of, I will now like push my will onto you, or this is about me getting what I want and what I need, and you just play along or follow, which of course anyone who gets that proposal is going to be like, that does not sound like I'm getting the good end of the deal. Like, it does not sound like I'm a no to that. And so I'd love for you both to speak about your experience with what dominance is and isn't, and what surrender or submission is and isn't, so that people can really start to get the reframe, because I think it's misunderstood.
Yes, it's very much misunderstood. So I'll start with the dominance end of that question, because even when we're working with clients, like with couples who are working to integrate this, I'll always get to know the couple, and then I'll be like, all right, now the guys need to talk, because we're leading this thing. And so we have to act like it. And like we make a very serious point about actually living in alignment with the stuff that we teach. And really, we teach from what we live and what we learn through that. But dominance is leadership, period. And you know, it is a lot of times thought of like, I'm in charge and I'm going to get what I want. Which in some ways, yes, if you're leading, you can get what you want. where it gets missed out. Oh, and by the way, in the bedroom, for scene, like short scenes, short periods of time, that can be really erotic, can be sexy, can be a lot of fun to just be like, my way, not yours. And she can be like, yes, sir. But the problem comes in for a lot of people when you try to take that energy out of the bedroom and into real life. And when love starts to get involved, the heart gets involved with the leader-follower dynamic, it messes with everything. Like, it messes with our systems because we haven't attuned ourselves to what it means to lead and still stay connected to our heart. And that's the big challenge, because on one hand, it feels like if I'm leading, then you're following. So then I have to tell you what to do. But then also, you know, I call this the hardened edge and the softened heart, where we do need, as men, as dominant men, need to be able to step forward and say this, not that. We have to have the balls to be able to say what we want and to speak for what we see as the best option in the moment. But then not to cut off the emotional feedback that she gives to me in response to where I lead her.
That's the key there, right? It's like the amount of time there's this, like, I'm just going to literally dominate, like in the sense of just impose my preferences onto you, as opposed to attune to what's needed and then go, I'm leading us in this direction. And I think this is where it can get a little confusing for people.
And this is where men who, like, have walls built around their hearts have such a hard time, because if they let the walls down and they let her feel, that feels pretty vulnerable. And it can feel pretty weak, because if we've been led around by our balls for our whole lives, like trying to appease women, trying to please women, trying to give them what they want so that they will then give us what we want. Mm-hmm. But letting her speak up for how she feels kind of activates those same systems. Like, okay, now I'm just listening to her tell me what she wants and I'm doing it. That doesn't feel very strong, dominant, powerful, masculine at all. So it's really being able to allow her to bring the options and then to lead instead of, like, by standing behind her and pushing her, getting in front of her and yanking her, but to, like, stand beside her, put your arm around her and walk in a direction that you see is the best.
Oh, given that's such a beautiful image. Yeah.
And so that's what dominance really means to me. Mm-hmm. And what I think is the missing piece for a lot of just healthy masculine expression in general.
Yeah.
I'll let you speak to the submission part. We just said this the other day, like, submission is really like embodied surrender. It's just lived surrender. So.
Yeah. So for me, what I had to recognize was where I had the walls around my heart, where I tried to control life as a whole in order to keep my own self feeling good or safe, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's about letting go, obviously, but I like to say it as releasing my grip on any little piece of identity, of ego, of anything that stands in the way of receiving his leadership, because that is the part of the penetration that I get to receive from him. And then I get to share my emotional expression moment to moment. So it's not being a doormat. It's actually quite the opposite. So I've had to the whole embodiment journey is really being in tune with what my life experience is, being able to share how I'm receiving his leadership, what feels good, what doesn't, and then actually express it to him, which has been something that I've had to work on, is actually sharing all of this stuff with him so he knows how to actually lead me and us together.
Thank you for sharing that. That's such a challenge for a lot of us women, right? To really be able to just open into giving in the moment, real-time feedback, because we're taught be polite, don't just smile all the time, do the thing, it's a very, there's so much rhetoric, I think, in the mainstream that actually continues to just sort of propagate a very, very transactional relationships. And it doesn't seem that way on the outside. It seems like, oh, we're just doing a relationship the way that we do it. But like you spoke to, there's this piece around people pleasing and the piece around not expressing yourself. And so all of this is happening very behind the scenes, just in the background as a hum. And so people will look at something like a dom sub relationship and be like, whoa, that's really, that seems more selfish or about the me, but actually it is in from where I'm standing and what I'm hearing and understanding is it's really a lot more about the we than sometimes certain mainstream typical relationships and their formats may look where it's there's actually a lot of, oh, I'll do this for you if you do this for me, that's happening without anyone actually saying it. And so there's a lot of me in those types of relationships. And that's not to say that's all those relationships, but I'm just saying that it's very easy for us to look at something and very quickly make judgment about it. Oh, it's this or it's that. And I'm really hearing how this can actually deepen union and the we energy in the relationship itself.
It's mutual surrender. Mm. It that's where it gets missed so much, is we think about she's surrendering to me, but really what she's surrendering to me is consciousness, it's preferences, it's decision making. Mm-hmm. What I'm surrendering to her is any restrictions that I might put on her expression. Ooh. Give it all to me and then more. Because then we open up the pathways of moving energy between us, because when she's expressing everything, there's nothing stuck. There's nothing stuffed. And so she can receive all of me and know that I'm going to hear her and see her and receive her feedback. And so I have to surrender the emotional realm and she surrenders the physical consciousness realm, and that's how we meet God in love in these kinds of relationships.
Mm. I want to talk a little bit more about God since we're here now. So let me feel into where to go in this piece. I guess I'm most curious about Dawn's experience in the process of making the decision, and in a way, the final decision to go, okay, I'm a yes to this. What were the biggest fears that came up? What were some of the thoughts around, oh shit, by me saying yes, I might lose this, right? And I'm curious how that then also was connected to your relationship with God. Because I'm seeing it come up a lot for me as I choose more and more surrender. I'm like, oh, this isn't about me and whoever the man is. This is about me and God. So I'll stop there. And I'm just curious to hear a little bit, and then we can riff from there.
That's a very good question, and I'm going to do my best to summarize it.
I was just going to say, I'm going to sit back now because this is about a 45 minute.
But I know he does really good at like pulling all of my chaos together. So if I kind of go on a weird tangent,
I'll bring her back. I'll
summarize. All good. All good.
So I grew up in organized religion, and the God to me was very different than the God in my experience, in my life now. And so there was a point in our relationship where he actually led us and I followed away from organized religion. And so I knew at that point that God was real, but I was going to set him, if you will, just to the side and, work to get rid of the beliefs that I had adapted from organized religion. And so through my journey, this was after he had asked me to be his submissive already. God was still kind of over there. But the one thing that I recognized was this man was the only person in my life who I felt fully seen and accepted and loved all the way through. And I don't know how that happened, if you will, but it was always the experience. And so when he brought this to me, he did a very good job of articulating how he had already been leading us. And all in my background was this feel like in my body of receiving his love even though who I was underneath a lot of garbage and a lot of belief systems that needed to come off. And so in this journey, eventually I just trusted that I would make sense of who God was. I just knew it. Like I knew that life would show itself to me in that way. And so it was after I started facing down my own sexuality, because I also, that was something I didn't talk about. So yes, we had sex. Yes, it was great, but there was a lot of shame and trauma around my sexuality that needed to be seen and released on my part. And so it was through connecting to my own body with my own touch and all this time experiencing his consciousness in a way that I'd never experienced another man, and experiencing him walk through his own side of this without even knowing all of it. Like he doesn't tell me all that stuff, but the experience of him only deepened, his presence, his attention, like what my body felt in his presence was beyond words. It would just like, you feel it. That's all I can say. And so, through numerous different times in different ways, I have felt the voice of God speak to me. And it was like, one day I was receiving some affirmations come through me, and it was like one of the best experiences of my life, of like just reaffirming who I am, like let this full sexual expression come out, because our sexual expression is who we are fully. And so that has to be seen by me, because it's already seen by him, but I have to accept it and be willing to express it and share it. So all of a sudden, after these affirmations, it's hard to talk about without crying, because I heard, this is the voice of God speaking to you. Listen to me. And everything that I had experienced in those moments was everything this man had seen in me and already told me. In all of that. And that only reaffirmed, deepen my trust in every single aspect of who I am and trusting the God in this man and allowing the God in me to experience him in a way that I feel like has only just begun.
Thank you. That's so beautiful to hear. It brought me to tears. And I viscerally really know that experience. So I was like right there with you, like, yeah, I get it. And it's such, I imagine such a beautiful experience to have when it clicks in that, oh, this is actually the same frequency, the same energy, the same, I don't know what else we want to call it, but, and I imagine it brought about a level of safety, like a confirmation of the safety that already existed, but like it took it to another level and allowed you to just be like, okay,
yes,
this is okay. Not just okay. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And like all throughout this journey, it was almost as if I felt it deepening and deepening and deepening. And then when I had of recognizing the ways that I could just not care anymore, because believe it or not, like the hardest thing for me to let go of was controlling my fitness and nutrition, because I had turned that into a religion and I had outsourced, how do I get that body I want? How do I stay there to everybody else? And there was a lot of conflicting belief systems inside of me. And so he always saw that. He's always had the utmost patience with my journey, because it this whole time it felt really, I felt this in my entire being, like I can't be forced into submission. It has to come naturally. And there was a part of me that fully knew and just trusted it would. If I just kept waking up every morning and kept following him, and I knew that it would just keep unraveling. And so I kept feeling deeper and deeper surrender, and then experiencing God in several different ways. And that was just one of them. I mean, it's been through sex and been through self-pleasure and all of that. It's always been affirmations to basically, like, you don't have to care about everything and control everything, because really none of it matters. And I get to live in Eros and love and devotion to him in a way that I honestly didn't even know, like, the feeling of freedom was possible.
I think this is the piece a lot of women aren't aware of. It's like, if we don't, it's like, I can never say his name right. Thich Nhat Hanh. No, I was getting confused, but you know who I'm talking about? Thich Nhat Hanh.
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Yes, exactly. I'm always like, I think I get a little dyslexic with the letters. So he once said, anyone who hasn't tasted a kiwi, if you try to explain to them what a kiwi tastes like, they're just not really ever going to know until they taste the kiwi. And I feel like what you're speaking to is a kiwi experience, where it's like, until you've actually felt the liberation and the freedom that comes from being like, oh, I can just sink into devotion and I don't have to make decisions and I don't have to da da da. It's like, until you've tasted it, you don't know what's missing.
Absolutely. That's a great analogy of the experience of just being able, like, you hear people and we say it like, just be. It is possible to live in the moment and experience it fully without the mental garbage, without that ego trying to continuously get you down the rabbit holes and into the familiar territory.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the being is so, is striking me right now, because what I kept, as you were both sharing, I was just feeling into, because before there was this talk about we're actually both surrendering. And then now there's, you know, all this being that we're bringing in. It's like, there is, again, going back to when someone looks from the outside and makes a quick judgment, it's very much, it can seem like, okay, one person's telling the other person what to do. The other person is going, okay. And And really what's happening here is there's both people dropping into such deep presence and connection to the we field, right? Like the union field, that, and in devotion to that, in devotion to the union. And yes, there's sort of polar opposite roles that are being played, but actually what's happening is exactly the same. It just looks different on the outside, but it's like, how do we get so present and so attuned that we can feel the moment? And for one person, it's I'm expressing what's happening in the moment. And the other person's like, I'm paying attention to what's happening in the moment. And I'm choosing what the next step is. And then, okay, now I'm expressing what's happening in the moment because we're in a new moment. And then, okay, now I'm taking us to the next moment. And it's just that continuous partner dance, essentially.
That's something that we can't prevent either, that like misconception from the outside. We've had to accept the reality that people will look at us and think that if they don't know us, they could very easily think that I'm just a domineering jerk who bosses her around. Because that's the physical, it's the conscious, like it's what you can see. Mm-hmm. And that's why people fear it, because that's the piece that they see, is what's visible is what you're seeing, it's what's happening. What they don't see is how safe she can feel, because I have encouraged the expression to come out of her. So she's worked very hard to build a sense of self-trust that allows her to surrender as deeply as she mm-hmm. does. And from the outside looking in, you can't see the way that my heart is so wide open to her that she could split, like she splits me open every day. You don't see that unless you see the tears well up in my eyes when I talk about it. And so, you know, it's taken a remarkable amount of trust on her part, because one of the reasons that she can feel so safe to let go and to follow my lead in the physical realm is because, like I said before, I've tried to show her that I will always hear her feedback, but also she's developed the trust in herself that she won't shut up. Like she's going to say what she's feeling. And so she can let go more easily because she trusts herself that if something feels off, it's not going to get suppressed.
The trust piece, you know, both like you spoke to the self and trusting the other person is so key in this. And it was actually literally where I wanted to go next. So I love that we're in the flow here. I'll share a little experience I had recently actually with my former partner, Chris. So we're in this process, for anyone listening who doesn't know, like we're figuring out like what we are to each other in each other's lives, but we're very much in each other's lives on a daily basis. And we've gotten to this very interesting point very, very recently where even though we are not currently in an official life partnership, I felt like we reached a level of trust where I told him one day, I said, you know what? You get to make I want you to make all decisions connected to us. Now, because, you know, we have a particular format that's not clear, I didn't feel ready to give him leadership over my entire life because he's not technically my life partner. And so that would complicate things. But with regards to our dynamic, I said, you get to choose everything. And I noticed myself getting to that place because I've gotten finally to a point where I've seen all the places we've gone. I've seen all the chapters we've been through. And more than ever before, I'm like, I trust you. I trust you with my life. Like you get to choose whatever. And I actually trust you more than I trust my own decisions. Got to work on that one. But right. It's like, I trust my own decision to trust him, which is really the only one that matters. And the moment I said that, I was like, I feel so good. Like there was such an exhale. It's been such an upgrade in our dynamic where I don't have to make any decision. And I don't think that that is something I could have gotten to maybe in the first year of being with him, as much as he's a, you know, stand-up guy and whatever. It's like, I just needed time and to see us go through all these different chapters to go, oh, okay, you actually know better than I do. So I'm going to let you make those decisions because they seem to go well when you decide, you know? And what started to come up from that was this realization in my own life. And I'm curious, you know, just for the women listening and perhaps Dawn, you've got something to chime in about with this is like, I feel that what's never talked about is decision fatigue. And I'm starting to realize it's becoming so incredibly, the last 6 months, it's just been like in my face that I'm like, I actually don't want to make any fucking decisions. I just don't want to make any decisions. I hate decisions. Even in my business, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, oh, I actually hate being a business owner because I have to approve things. I have to make decisions. I don't want to do any of that shit. I love coaching. I'll coach till the end of, till I go to my grave, but I don't want to make decisions. And I think that this is something, it's like, it's something that came with, you know, feminism and like women's lib and all of that. It's like, okay, we now can run our own businesses. But I think there's this like unspoken of like piece that a lot of women don't want to admit or don't even notice because they're so busy making decisions. That when you lean back and you start to have the experience of not having to make decisions in certain areas of your life, you're like, wait a second, this is an option. I like it. So I'm curious what either of your thoughts are on this, the decision fatigue, because I think it's a big thing. I think it's going to come up more and more over the next 10, 20 years.
Absolutely to everything you said. I don't like making decisions. I never have. And so that was part of what felt easy to relax into in my part of our relationship. Now, that being said, I also had to learn how to surrender my preferences, surrender beyond preferences, yeah. Because I can't fall into subtly trying to control to make sure he would make the decision that I was going to make. Or did you consider this? Did you consider that? Like making sure it's just what I would choose.
Yeah.
And so that's been a journey in itself, but I completely agree with the feminine. When you get a taste of something like pulling back a little bit, and maybe for some, it starts with having a little bit of space where you don't have to be in charge of the kids, be in charge of a business, just make decisions. Like for me before, it was the date nights where like, I couldn't argue with the fact that when he made the decisions, it all went well. And so I quickly started to realize that whenever he made the decision, it was always better than what my decision would have been, simply because I would overthink it constantly. And if I would make a decision, then I would still keep thinking, was that the right decision? And so for me, exhaustion around decision-making, absolutely. Like if I don't want to make a decision on something simple, like, what should we have for dinner? I'll ask him, what would you like for dinner? And he'll tell me and I'll make it. Perfect. And that's just something simple.
But that happens 50 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like it happens constantly. And to the point where I have like systematically removed from her life decisions that she doesn't need to be the one making. Where it's just like, this is decided. This is how we do this. And So she doesn't think about it or try to figure anything out. Like just laying that structure out. And this is what I call like, well, it's discernment. It's discernment 101. When I talk to women about like, well, how do I surrender and how do I let go? And when I'm thinking about 75 million things all at once, well, it's like, you're meant to be accessing the infinite chaos of the universe.
Mm.
So you're never going to stop feeling lots of everything. That doesn't that
well, then, everything all at once.
Yeah. Totally. It's like that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like that's like that is actually what we can. I know it doesn't feel great at first for a woman who's overburdened with like so much.
Mm.
Really, we can, as men, we can offer that to her, like so that you can just be in that emotional, like that emotional discernment.
Yeah.
When we can relieve her of the decision fatigue. When we can take her out of having to make 1,000 decisions a day and she can use her discernment. Obviously, you don't want to just follow the first person who comes along and says, I'll take over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like make that, like you said, that one singular decision, like I decide to let you decide.
Yeah.
And channel your inner masculine to make the single decisions that relieve you of 10,000, to follow a lead that you don't have to set, that you don't have to be figuring things out anymore because you've made that singular decision that relieves you of the burden.
Yeah.
You can live in the emotional energy of the moment. You can you can feel.
Yeah.
This is the entirety of what I believe the expression of the feminine is. If she's in her half of the yin half of the yin and yang, is what I say, be, receive, and feel. Like your entire reality is just to be present.
Yeah.
And to notice what it is that you're receiving from around you and feel like a verb outwardly. Shh. Receive what you're receiving and feel what you're feeling. And express it. And don't protect anybody from what you feel in response to what you receive. But you just get to be in that emotional chaos of the present, which actually doesn't feel like such a burden if all of the decision making isn't also your responsibility. Like, what do I do with all of that energy? You just get to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it makes me really think about also just where we're going as a collective and the importance of having more of these dynamics, whether people decide to go full, you know, 24/7 dom sub, or if they're just like taking principles of this and applying it to their life. I think that these are really important concepts that are going to liberate us as a collective, because we can, I mean, when we look around and we see like people are not happy, the society is pretty sick, we're not doing great, we're not flourishing, that's for sure. And we think back to just a long ass time ago where a lot of the women got to really be oracles for the village, for the community, where the more there was space for them to feel, to intuit, to drop in, and then to express what they're noticing, in a way, their oracle bodies, their animal bodies, were then helping steer the community in the right direction. Now, it might have been more that the men were then executing or leading the, you know, what's the game plan for the village that now doesn't have enough water this year, or whatever might be happening for them back in the day, right? But the women were the ones like having enough space. And I think that spaciousness is so important, because again, when we take out the decisions, there's more space to feel and to be and to go back into that animal body that intuits so well. Because when we look at all the animals, they know exactly where they're going. I mean, when you hear about migration patterns and things, I'm like, how do they do that? It's like, they're just so in their fucking bodies because they're not managing a business. They're not doing anything else. They're just flying, right? Or they're just walking or whatever it is that the animals are doing. And so I think there's something that we did when we overcomplicated our lives that then created the static between us and our primal intuitive bodies, and in particular, the women. It's not just the women, it's anyone who taps into their feminine, right? But like, it just it tends to be like, it's an easier, I think the skill exists more in women, the same way, you know, what is it that they say? Women, I think, are born with more lower, is it lower body strength, and the men are more upper body, I think. I don't know. That's just the thing I've heard. It's random. That's like a physical thing, right? But it's like, so also same thing with the emotional capacity. It's like, well, women just tend to be a little bit, generally speaking, better at connecting to the feminine, you know, of receptivity and expression and intuition. And then the men are like, let's go, let's do this.
But also I think men are built to be more emotionally sensitive. This is something true. Women are built to be very connected to the emotional experience of the moment. But I believe men are built to be emotionally connected to the experience of the woman.
Yeah. And so we're plugging in like this way. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's really cool. I love that frame. And it's so important. And this is one of the things that drew me, I think, when I first started reading some of the writing on your blog, because I remember the day that I like found your website and just started reading every single, like, I just was like obsessive. I was in bed with my lover and was like, oh my God, this is the best writing ever. These people just get it. And it was such a beautiful moment, because I remember there being a lot of conversation around sensitivity. And I think this is a piece that I learned through my relationship also with Chris, is like that there's access to so much more when we're both dropping into sensitivity and attunement. And I think that's ultimately, we keep coming back to that in today's conversation, right? Because I think that is really what it is. And we're just attuning and for a different role, but we're both attuning. And it's really important that we're doing that, because I'm the same person. And right now I might let Chris lead me in certain things, but you know, someone else can come along and I'm like, like, I feel you disconnected. There is no way I am fully in charge. that does not feel safe in any possible way. And so for anyone listening, I guess I would just invite you into also feeling into, okay, if you are in any sort of dynamic with someone, how do you feel and what needs to start to shift, right? In order for you to feel safer. Is it a conversation? Is it time? Is it something else that we're not speaking to? And I think that's really the important thing. If you're really resistant to surrendering or submitting, it's probably because on some level there's a lack of safety or a lack of trust, either with this person or between you and the divine God, so on life. So I'm curious, I want to see where I want to take us in the last little bit of our chat together. I'm like, oh, there are so many more things to talk about. I have a few notes down. Let me see what else there is. Oh, I wanted to ask you all about what has been like the biggest mistake and also the biggest upgrade in choosing this lifestyle. I know that's a lot, but if you could sum it up.
I think for me, the biggest mistake.
Like that you initially were doing, essentially. Maybe I didn't phrase that right. Yeah.
Well, it's a series of things. And it's like every time that I get triggered, like it really does require, if you want to be what I call devotionally dominant, like I have to be as close to untriggerable as possible. And so every collapse and every time I fall apart and every time that I come back at her with a snippy comment in response to something that she says, like there's no space for that. If I need to hold all of her expression so she can hold my consciousness, like there's no space for me to be triggered at all. And I've got to do all of the work to let go of all of that. Biggest upgrade, I would say, is the result, the inner strength that I've been able to experience as a result of becoming as close to untriggerable as possible.
Ah, oh, so good. So true. I think a lot of people will be like, oh, the man has it easy. Like, are you kidding me? Who wants to be on the other end of that storm? Not me. I'd rather be the storm for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How was the question asked? Like,
What was one of the biggest mistakes maybe early on as you were first figuring out your way in this? And then what's been the biggest upgrade, the biggest up level?
Honestly, I can't really think of a mistake, only wishing that, and the biggest upgrade is I've connected to myself and to God. Mm. And I didn't have that experience of life before. So I can't say that this is a mistake. I just wish I could have experienced this a heck of a lot earlier in my life. Mm-hmm. Because the aliveness, the eros, the liberation, and the freedom that I can live in now, I can't even put into words. But as a woman, if you can get a little taste of the letting go of the surrender.
The kiwi.
Well, if you can just get a little glimpse of that, I'm just going to say that is possible to live in. If you're willing to release your grip on what you're trying to control, what you're trying to have your way. So like leaning into that discernment of who do I trust? I love what you said before that you felt like you trust Chris more than yourself. Yeah, I do too in a lot of ways. I trust him way more than I trust myself because I just know I can. And it's not that I'm incapable anymore. I'm completely capable. I don't
say you're more capable.
Yeah, way more capable because I'm in tune with who I am, but I don't have to be responsible for everything anymore. And that is amazing.
Bless, working my way there. Love it. No, truly, Ev, it's so cool to be able to chat with you because at this point in my life, because I think even when I came across your work, I wasn't ready yet to, like, there's something about, I was very humbled by the last 6 months of my life, but that level of surrender that I've had to, like, I've really just had to get on my knees and just be like, okay, God, fine. I'm not going to try to control shit anymore. And in doing that, like starting to realize like, wow, it just feels so much better in my system. And it is not necessarily for everyone, right? But I think there's a lot of people who, again, would like the kiwi if they tried it, but they just don't know, which brings me to another question that I'm so curious about. So you guys have been supporting clients, I imagine a lot of couples, right, who are like interested, who probably did the same thing as me, who are like, oh, I want to do that. That sounds good. And so they hire you. What have you noticed comes up the most? Like, what is the biggest, I guess, question or challenge that you see where they're like, okay, I want to adopt this, but like,
with women, the biggest challenge is I want to let go of the decision making, but I can't get myself to open my mouth and speak up. I can't express what's going on inside of me. The suppression is so heavy and it's so habitual that it takes emotional work to teach her how to speak, how to connect to what she's feeling and open her mouth and let it come out of her mouth.
Wow.
And for men, it's like the sensitive heart that I think every single man carries, and how hurt, how wounded men's hearts really are, and how challenging it is for men to let those walls down and let her love you. To let her love in. And the experience of that, when a man can do that, by the way, is that once you can get past the triggers and once you can get past the defensiveness or the numbing out or the shutting down, the experience is her love, obviously, is love, but you also get, you will start to experience her rage as love and her anger as love and her sadness as love, and everything that she feels really is her love when you can let those walls down around your heart and just see the chaos as her love, like all of the possibilities of the moment that you can connect to in her.
Two different directions that my brain went. I'm like, which way do I go? I'm curious to, well, what struck me, actually, I'll start with this. What struck me about what you were sharing with both the men and the women is that both of these are childhood experiences, right? So often this experience by all of us, really, but where it's like, shh, don't express yourself, and not from bad intention, right? Like all parents are just tired and they're just like, oh, shh, stop, enough crying, enough doing, enough whatever. Running around and dancing. Like that was my thing. Like I always was like shut down around like dancing and being sexual before I knew I was being sexual. And for the men, it's often like, don't cry, be a man, right? That sort of manning up rhetoric that has been heard over and over again that really disconnects us from our from the hearts of the men's hearts. But also I think then it's like the initial hit is when you're a kid, and then you live in a world right now where it continues to confirm, toughen up, be this way, you know, all the stuff that we hear. And so that just struck me, and I wanted to speak to that for all of us, it's this, it's us going back to our inner child and doing a lot of work there. But then what I wanted to ask you, Andrew, actually, was we spoke about Dawn and God, and I'm curious about in the process of all of this, what shifted for you around your relationship with the divine, with God? Is there one? What was it before?
What it was, well, I was the kid who at 13, I stood up in the middle of Catholic religion class and asked a question. They told me, we don't ask that question. And I said, okay, well then I'm just going to leave. And I walked out and sat on the curb until my mom came and picked me up, and I never went back.
Amazing.
And so, you know, my relationship to God was very, very complicated for a long time, because I always, like, I've always had a sense of a deeper, like a deeper energy to the universe, but nothing to connect it to, really, until this made it feel real. Because like when someone gives their consciousness to you as a man and says, here, take me where you want to take me, please don't hurt me, like I'm all yours, that requires a level of responsibility that makes me channel God. Like, I damn well better not get selfish with that, or someone I care deeply about is going to be hurt badly. And so I have to be connected to the truth and to see the truth in her, in me, in us. Like, I have to be able to see that and choose wisely. But then also, what I was talking about just a minute before, like opening up to receive her, is like I get to see God in like that primordial mess of everything everywhere all the time. Like when I get to see her in her emotional bigness, whatever that is, whether it's love or passion or rage or whatever she's feeling and expressing, like now I'm connected to some, I mean, you mentioned the oracle, like I get to plug into her oracle. Like she becomes my muse. I get, like, I receive all of my energy, like everything that I create is created through the energy that she shares with me. So it's like the heart of God and from her, and the consciousness of God from me.
And oh, we, like, yeah.
pass that back and forth moment to moment. And that's what union is.
This feels like a strong place to complete our conversation. The heart of God, the consciousness of God. Love it. Let me use that. Credit you, obviously. But I don't know, did something to my cells. Well, I'm hoping next time I see you both, I'll be wearing a collar and have left my business, or I'll just be doing coaching, but where I don't know, maybe it's like pro bono and someone's just paying for my life or something. I don't know. That's my dream.
Somebody else has it all set up for you and you just show up and click go
or that, right? Like anything where I just don't have to make decisions would be good. Okay. So how do people find you if they're like, wow, we are now obsessed as equally as Nadia is? Where do they find you, your writing, your work, your programs, all that good stuff?
InfiniteDevotion.com or Instagram is @_infinitedevotion.
Wonderful. I want like 17 more episodes with you. But for now, I feel, this is such a great start. And I'm just in deep awe of the work you've both done to be in this place. And it feels really good to know that people like yourself are leading and helping guide others to do something like this, because we need more of it. Reasons we already spoke about. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our pleasure to be here.
If you are looking for a mentor this year that will really help facilitate the next level of potency in your leadership and in your erotic alchemy process, which just means learning how to amplify, transmute, and shift energies that sometimes can feel stagnant or heavy or challenging or contracting, and you want to turn them essentially into erotic, electrifying turn on, and you want to play right at that edge that I like to call the erotic edge, then I highly recommend checking out my new program. It's a mentorship for my one-on-one clients that is all about us learning to become masters of Eros, learning how to work with the seasons of death and winter and loss and turn them into something, you know, from something that depletes us into something that fuels us. And so I highly, highly recommend checking out the page. It's nadiamunla.com/erotic-edge. We've got a couple of different options for you. We have the way that I love to work is a 6-month container always. It's tried, tested, and true. I've been doing it for 9 years. And then there's also a 3-month container. If you are someone who likes to take everything and compact it a little bit more, if you're really working on going into an in-depth immersion over a smaller amount of time, if you don't have the space to go to sort of pull it out and do it over 6 months, then, you know, this 3-month package could be an option for you as well. In both cases, you get Voxer support from me. In both cases, you get the option to do a 2-day in-person erotic movement immersion with me, which also can be done online virtually on Zoom if you're someone who cannot travel, but you really want to do this. So there are so many options, but this is a combination of sort of traditional life coaching calls combined with an in-person immersion combined with in-between call support. So really it's the full, what do they call it? The full enchilada, ladies. So reach out, take a look at the site. And if you have any questions, you know where to find me. There's a direct link to apply there. That's always the best way to get on an exploration call with me, where we really get a sense of whether it's a fit or not. Because
in this particular program, I only take a handful of people a year. So I always love to hop on the phone and make sure that this is going to be a situation that's like win-win-win, where there's going to be magic and fireworks, and it's going to be the best decision for you. All right. So I hope to talk to you soon.
If you enjoyed the guest on this episode, you can head on over to the show notes to get more info on their bio, their work, their website, and all the good stuff.
I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram at Nadia Munla.